Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Addams Family. This one was kind of a fun one, not only just because it's a fun movie, but because it represents probably the pinnacle of the style that existed a lot in the 90s, which were movies that were based on old TV shows, not unlike Dennis the Menace or Richie Rich. There was even talk of a Munsters movie. There's a Flintstones movie. There's a Twilight Zone movie where those kids died. But, you know, recreating these old TV shows in movie form. There's a musical number at the end that we sing. I'm sorry. But it's fun. I just hope you guys enjoy it. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, the next day, which is a Friday, we are actually doing a Cineprof show. I know, unusual for a Friday, but there you go. The movie Flesh Gordon. Hope to see you there. And then a final note on this. The audio here is kind of crap. A wintry storm interfered with the recording. But we fought through so that you could have a fresh new episode. So I hope you enjoy, but I apologize in advance for the audio quality. Thanks.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never ever listen to the Earth Station One podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station One podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
This week, we watched 1991's The Addams Family, the erotic version of the Munsters. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter, and around the horn, we have...
Jeremy.
And Matt Quinn.
Yes, author of The Thing in the Woods, a teen horror novel.
And Daniel.
Yes, hi, this is Daniel, and I have listened to MC Hammer while seducing a goth chick.
And John Copsey.
And I'm John, and I was that goth chick Daniel was seducing.
Oh, does Kelly know?
There's something she just does not need to know.
Well, we each have our romantic fantasies. Don't worry, we're doing The Princess Bride coming up, so.
Inconceivable.
No, they have a kid.
Oh, damn it.
So I don't know how much we're gonna leave in the beginning, but we've been dicking around for a while. We all kind of were charmed by this movie. I don't think it's a surprise for anyone who's seen it before. But yeah, this is kind of fun, right, guys? Yeah.
It has pretty funny moments in it.
Well, it's also just a kind of charming film. Like, it's, I mean, I guess 2 years before this or so was Beetlejuice. But everything else that is, like, kids bringing back these kind of classic movies, Dennis the Menace and Casper, they kind of follow the model of this, which is that some evil blank to blank blank is trying to steal the house or steal the land or steal the wealth or whatever. But this one just has the most fun doing it. I was utterly charmed by this picture.
Well, it was kind of a disconnect between, in terms of an actual plot. I mean, they just had a bunch of ideas they threw together to make an Addams Family movie. But the ideas were just so funny because they were so reminiscent of the classic Charles Addams cartoons. It was great.
Well, and the TV show by this point.
That's what I think this movie did well, was that it's less of a movie than it is just a series of one-scene skits, like one-liners almost. Like, they cut to, say, Wednesday and Pugsley Addams trying to kill each other, and they say, oh, we're playing, and then that has nothing to do with the plot. They just zip back to someone else doing something.
Yeah.
They just do that all over the place.
May I make a confession here right now? I have never seen an episode of the original TV show.
Meh.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're not missing a lot.
I mean, come on, it starred Sean Astin's dad. How could you have missed that?
He was Sean Astin's dad.
Yeah.
That was...
I mean, it's a fair point.
John Astin, right? Was Gomez?
Yep. Clearly, he's where Sean Astin got his suaveness from.
But he was pretty suave in Stranger Things.
I mean, whatever. I got nothing. But yeah, it was on Hulu not long ago, and my wife and I watched a bunch of it. It's a charming show. It's not. I mean, it suffers from what all 60s sitcoms do, which is extreme formularity and, you know, the fact that it was competing against a direct pair show, which is The Munsters, although I think this is generally more charming than The Munsters.
Well, this is why I'm a fan of The Addams Family. This was like a cartoon in The New Yorker for many, many years before it became a TV show, like back to the 30s or 40s, I think. And the original cartoons are just so charming. They're so dumb, they're genius. Because
they were all about turning the social norms up on their own heads, weren't they?
Yes, in the most obvious way.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean that's kind of how this movie works in general. It's you know, it's this little family that lives in its own little world, and its charm survives the fact that the real world's trying to come in. You know, it's not even the dark kind of escape fantasy that we get with something like The Chronicles of Narnia. As the war's coming in, they're disappearing to fantasy. No, these people are perfectly fine. You know, like, and then the judge, who's the neighbor, and the evil lawyer type are trying to steal the house and the gold, and it just doesn't work because they're crazier than the rest of them.
Well, I like the conflict that was created by the movie, where it's a bunch of WASPy Americans are trying to challenge this very old European family for dominance about things. I mean, they're
European family.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I was confused by how this family worked. I mean, there's that line about how a great aunt of the current generation existed in the 18th century, and I'm just like, what, are the Addamses immortal or something?
Kinda, right? Like, this is also the Barky Baltal Camus from Perfect Strangers. Like, we have this native dance that everyone knows. Of course we do, right? Like.
But also, they had, you know, Aunt, whoever she was, who's buried in the graveyard, was lynched or torched as a witch by a mob. And you think, when was she torched by a mob? Where are they? Where they have her buried in the backyard?
I was thinking more along the lines of Great Aunt Calpurnia, who was burned at the stake after seducing a minister in 1706, and that was Wednesday's greatest hero.
Yeah. Well, and of course, their relationship is, of course, spicy and romantic, but they refer to both of them, Gomez and Morticia, refer to them as the Addams Family, like they're related in some way, which is weird.
So you're saying their weirdness is just a product of inbreeding?
It would explain the complexion.
I mean, they are pretty kooky and spooky. Mysterious and spooky.
Oh,
so.
God damn it, John. I remember reading in various places that despite how really strange they are, they have a very functional, happy marriage.
I mean, you saw the movie, right? I mean, Gomez and Morticia has a very lively and healthy romance.
Yeah, ish. That's French. With pain.
They're into some kinky stuff, but I mean, they obviously love each other, and it's reciprocated.
To pleasure, to pain, tonight.
Okay, yeah. So John, John, did this hold up?
Yeah. The only place where it really didn't was the special effects at the very end, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, the jokes are stupid, but they're almost meant to be stupid.
Fair.
It's still kind of a wholesome plot, and they're a wholesome family, and it's still neat. It's vaguely creepy, but it's just fun, and I think we all kind of, from what I gather, we all kind of agreed that it's silly, but it's funny. It's clever. It's just charming.
Well, I'll summarize this movie with an old Charles Addams cartoon. It was this woman in a toga pulling a little boy by his ear, who's also in a toga, and the mother is saying, "Why can't you be more like Oedipus?" It's a completely stupid joke, but it's also very clever in its own little way.
Yeah.
That was the kind of humor Charles Adams would use.
I'd expect more from the fourth president of the United States.
Speaking of dumb jokes that are also very smart right there.
Thank you. That's the... I janked that from The Simpsons when Homer's in space and James Taylor comes out to sing and he goes, former President James Taylor.
So stupid and clever.
Yeah. So, Sudsy, you want to give us a more complete plot summary really quick?
Yes, I can.
Please.
So, there's this family called the Adamses who live in this huge, dilapidated mansion. And some of the people that associate with them, including this one who wants to start a Fester Adams retirement fund, basically want to steal a bunch of money from them, which is stored all in gold doubloons in this vault on the mansion grounds. Anyway, one of those people who is in deep to a loan shark realizes that the loan shark's son looks exactly like Gomez's lost brother, Fester Adams, who was lost in the Bermuda Triangle. So he comes up with a scheme to reintroduce Fester into the family and ultimately take the gold from Gomez and the rest of the Adamses.
And it is worth mentioning that, I guess to Daniel's point, everyone just loved the Adams family. They, I presume... grew up on the TV show, but like this cast is pretty stacked. Uncle Fester is played by Chris Lloyd. Angelica Houston is Morticia. Raul Julia is Stevie. What's his name?
Gomez.
A young Christina Ricci is, of course, Wednesday. And then everything else, like Dan Hedaya is the attorney, Tully, that you were just alluding to setting up the fund.
Tully, that was his name. I forgot his name.
Yeah. I mean, and throughout, it's well casted. This is Barry Sonnenfeld's first directorial film. it's well done, and Chris Lloyd shines in this.
And Raul Julia as well. I mean, when I think of Gomez Adams, I think of Raul Julia. He nailed it. And Angelica Houston as Morticia, the two of them just had an awesome chemistry.
I liked the giant from Twin Peaks as Lurch.
Yeah, it was...
Carol Stroyken or something like that.
I'm going to let you guys struggle over the Dutch name or Danish name. I have no idea. But
it's Dutch. I know that much.
Jeremy,
did you mean to rhyme?
No, that was just a little random Dr. Seuss moment that I sometimes have.
You're a poet and you don't know it.
We were actually... I was convinced he was a guy from Big Fish, but just because he was tall. But we looked it up. It is Twin Peaks. I don't know. Like, where do you want to go with this? Like you said, the problem is talking about this. It's more of a bunch of vignettes. It's a short story movie. But I think one place we can start is the house. Jeremy looked it up, right?
Yeah. Apparently, although all the interiors were sets, they actually built the outer facade of the house for only $100,000, apparently, because that thing is massive. But I mean, it's a beautifully constructed sets. I definitely got to give them props for that. I mean, this movie is gorgeous. They went all out on it.
Well, and
isn't it the same house that the TV show was shot on?
I doubt it. I doubt it because that would have been 60 years before, 50 years before or something. Mm-hmm. I doubt it stood. It's definitely designed to look the same way, both of which maybe Hitchcock ripped off. It looks like the house from the Bates Motel.
It definitely, yeah. I was, throughout the whole movie, I was like, this looks so familiar. And yeah, it's definitely Bates Motel-ish.
And it's peeling and it's crumbling and it's at the interior. I mean, and
I'm more familiar with the movie Casper because I had a sadder childhood than the rest of you. But it does. It looks like it belongs somewhere in a Stephen King main book, right? Overlooking some distant bay. But it's not. They kind of plunk it down in the middle of L.A. somewhere, just close enough to harass the neighbor who happens to be a judge. But we should kind of get into this house because that's, like Daniel was saying, it's the set piece in which all the sketches take place except for one, which is the school function.
Well, I did like Gomez calling up Sally Jesse Raphael late in the film. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Mr. Adams, stop calling. I don't know where the witches are.
Oh, Sally Jesse. Where are you now?
I also do like this illusion that Daniel and Copsy were picking up on, which is that there is this kind of, are they immortal? Like, is this gold from El Dorado? Did they discover the Fountain of Youth? Because they have, like, an ancient Chinese artifact that they're selling to, like, an auction, right? Like, they seem to have not only limitless wealth, but it's shit from all over the world. Like, there's an old, English-style Iron Maiden. There's ancient French art. There's Asian artifacts. Like, they may have just existed forever, which is kind of funny.
Their house is a museum, Nick. It's in the lyric.
Yes. But then they don't give a shit about any of it. Like, when Dan Hedaya, the lawyer, shows up, they fight by throwing each other through ancient furniture.
And then they give him a bag full of doubloons as his monthly payment.
Yeah.
He is swindling them. Swindling them, and they don't care.
No! In fact, the only thing they seem upset about is that they'd lose the house, not that he was taking their extra money. In fact, they're almost charmed by the fact that he's trying to rip them off.
I feel like Gomez would actually appreciate that.
Yeah, I get that feeling too.
That, like, he lost a fight, so to speak, but that he's playing a different game behind, like, you'd have been like, you bastard, right? In that way that even the hand is it, right?
The thing.
It is comes later. Thing cheats at chess. Okay.
Was that a Cousin Ed impersonation?
That was Cousin Ed, yes.
Are you sure that wasn't Beaker?
Either that or someone stubbed their toe, or I don't know what happened.
Oh my god. Oh. Dan, you were talking about the house. Why don't you take us through the vault? Okay?
Okay. Well, it was kind of funny just where they stored the vault, because originally Gomez just goes down there and Tully can only hear what's down there, and he's like a lion tamer, basically. He's whipping animals going, down, boy! And we only see the vault later. It's like some sort of Nickelodeon sketch with Fester and Gomez riding down this very long slide, and only then do they actually get to a River Styx sort of boat, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
The gondola? Yeah.
Yeah, the gondola thing. And it was just so bizarre just how inventive they were with the geography of this house, because it suggests so much about who the Adamses are.
Well, and it's also this, like, ancient world treasure stuff, right? Like, it's very, like, national treasure. Like, you're underneath this thing next to this thing. At one point, they're taking the gondola through what looks like a flooded version of Mosquito Cathedral in Spain.
Well, I think you're right, Nick, about how the house is reminiscent of a whole bunch of European museums, because it hints so much about the Adamses and how they're essentially descended from everything, which is why all the wasps are so jealous of them, right? I mean, everybody wants to secretly be an Adams in the movie, up to and including impersonating them, but at the same time, everybody sort of hates them. It's kind of weird.
No.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Basically, yes.
Well, they're also very annoying. You saw what Gomez does to the judge, that he's shooting golf balls off his balcony.
Judge recuse himself from that case? That was a thing about the movie that annoyed me.
It's more fun not to.
because here is his chance for revenge, and Gomez is apparently a really bad attorney.
Well, that's not how recusal and judges work, though. I mean,
if Gomez wouldn't know to ask him to, and he was playing on that.
Well, also,
I mean, as Gomez says, like, a man who represents himself as a fool for an attorney, and I am that fool.
Can we start getting into the one-liners in this movie? John, I know you'd be the best at that.
The one-liners really are what makes it. And I know it's from the second one, but one of my favorite lines that they did is, Gomez is walking down the stairs and, what's her name, the nanny says to him, like, oh my, what a lady killer. And he just takes a puff of his cigar and puffs it out and says, acquitted. And just carries on. And the Addams Family is all about the one-liners. That, like I said,
I rather like the bit with the vocational counselor where Morticia is describing Gomez and how he's out of a job, and the counselor's like, oh, what is he, a shiftless layabout and just a worthless dreamer? And then Morticia's like, well, not anymore. And that's like, all right.
Well, at the beginning, they sum up their relationship. Like, Gomez is walking through the house, and he's kind of introducing us to the house and to Fester and, like, background. And then he stops at Morticia's room, and she says something along the lines of, last night you were unhinged, you were a madman, you were a demon. Do it again.
Yeah.
And that's the whole scene.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is nothing but one-liners. It's one scene, like we said at the top, it's one scene after another that's basically the New Yorker comic strip, which is one panel with a subtitle or a caption. And they really, I guess, captured that in this movie, because so many of the scenes are just one-liners.
I was thinking of the scene where they're in the cemetery, I guess reminiscing, and they have a couch made out of concrete, like it's a tombstone with their names on it. And he goes, I remember when I first saw you at a funeral, you were so pale and beautiful, no one could even look at the corpse.
Oh, that was great.
Well, and it's just, it's charming because, like you said, first of all, you 100% believe that they are completely enraptured by each other, which is the charm of the whole piece. But then secondly, it's so completely absurd because the rest of the world doesn't... The rest of the world is a real world, and they are not. You know, it's Super Nintendo Chalmers in The Simpsons, right? He's the one real person, but it's reversed. These are insane people living in the normal, whatever, California suburb they're supposed to be in. But they don't care. You know, they have no time for the rest of the world, which is kind of the best part.
Yeah, they're all in their own little thing and doing whatever makes them happy. And I think that's the charm about it, that it's not like Nightmare Before Christmas or something where they're murdering and pillaging and whatnot, and they're gleeful about it. This is their, I guess it's implied that Wednesday and Pugsley kind of kill each other routinely. But, I mean, electrocution, beheading, electrocution again, and who knows how many other ways. But they're all kind of a loving family doing normal family things just in their own way.
Well, I always thought that the humor wasn't so much about them rejecting the world. It was about them being completely oblivious to it. Like, when Gomez is launching all those golf balls at the judge's house, he's always just wondering, why the judge is so offended, and like how he's breaking windows. Like, you can keep the golf ball, judge. I've got a whole bucket full over here. It was great.
It's also the same shot that they, I guess, rip off, because it comes later, for Happy Gilmore. Right, when it like follows the ball as it enters the window and smacks the guy in this case in the breakfast cereal. Everyone's eating that horrible breakfast cereal in this. It's really gross.
The knockoff Fruit Loops or Fruit Puffs, whatever those things are.
Totally.
It's generic sweetie poops or whatever they are.
No.
Sugar balls.
And just really quickly,
Dan Hedaya.
Is the accountant attorney guy for the Adamses, and he apparently borrowed some money from some people, and now they're kind of calling in the vig on him. And so he's trying to get money. His wife is nagging him to ask for a raise or a loan or something, but he doesn't. And in turn, the people who he's hitting up or who are trying to get their money back from is a woman who, real name I don't know, she goes by Dr. something or another.
Dr. Pinderschloss.
Pinderschloss, exactly. And her quote-unquote son, who's a dead ringer for Uncle Plaster. And what they're going to do... Go ahead.
We find out it is Fester because as Gomez realizes, he utterly hates his guts, so he must be Fester.
Yeah. Which is why Daniel and I will never lose each other. But ultimately...
What are you suggesting there, Nicholas?
Yeah, fuck off.
You can't see me right now, but I have a big frown on my face.
Oh, no. The...
Is that a euphemism, Daniel?
Hey, only one person showed up to actually record with me. No, but essentially, ultimately... They're going to play a long con. Fester, or who turns out to be real Fester, a guy named Gordon?
Yep.
Gordon. Is going to stand in. He's going to pretend to be Fester. He's going to get his way into the family. And then, being the older brother, he is going to seize the property. Which ultimately is what ends up happening. But like you said, he waits to make sure he gets the pathway to the gold doubloons, which is quite the journey. Ultimately, as this movie kind of winds together, Fester has trouble deciding whether he's going to side with the family or side with his mother, who, let's be honest, like Daniel and John are like revealed the end, but it's 100% obvious he's just Uncle Fester. Like, it's almost a weird premise. Like, they kind of do it in the Simpsons where Lisa's cat Snowball 2 dies and they get 12 other cats. They all die horrible ways and then they just get another black cat and just like, we're just going to call you Snowball 2. Like, this never happened. It's like, that's the only way out. Because Christopher Lloyd looks like Christopher Lloyd, so.
Well, I think part of the whole gag with Uncle Fester is what the everybody in the audience was secretly feeling. It's like, yeah, the Adamses are weird, but wouldn't it be so much fun to actually be one of them? You get your own mamushka, you get a giant mansion, and you at least get a familial connection that's not really in the U.S. at all. Well, I mean, you're descended from Europeans, Nick. You know that feeling.
Oh, yeah. Traditional dances and clogs and knife throwing and sword fighting.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you do that with your dad all the time.
Your dad sword fighting. That's a charmer. But, I mean, it's further than that, of course. It's... They fit in right away. Like, to charm Pugsley and Wednesday, he starts making explosives. Like, they're not normal people. And the fact that right away Gordon knows how to do this, you're just like, yeah, he's just kind of Fester. I don't know.
He's confused by Disney that, Morticia is going through his trunk when he's moving in.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, here's, I don't know, a crowbar. And he takes it from her, you know, freaking out a little bit. Oh, here's some dynamite. And he takes it from her. And cyanide. Fester, as if we would run out. And he doesn't quite understand what's going on here. He thinks he's walking into a normal con. And...
Join twins that Gomez and Fester fell in love with when they were teens.
Laura and Fauna.
I also love, like, John, to your point, that's where the Disney musical song would have kicked in, like, as though he's part of the family all of a sudden, you know, like a one of us moment, like, as though you needed to bring your own cyanide.
And to that point, there's a callback to that joke later on when they're... when the evil plot has gone through, they've all been kicked out of the house, and the kids are selling a lemonade, and they have, like, arsenic and cyanide and all that stuff. They give one...
That scene's got one of my favorite lines in it. It's Harmony from Buffy's coming up and asking if the lemonade is made from real lemons, and then there's that bit where she's like, well, I'll buy a glass of your lemonade if you'll buy one of the boxes of my Girl Scout cookies. And then Wednesday's like, are they made with real Girl Scouts? And I'm like, that's amazing. Because Christina Ricci, who's like 10 when this was filmed, was just so deadpan and wonderful.
Yeah.
She was a good choice for Wednesday.
Well, when you have one acting range you can work within, I guess it's kind of perfect for it.
Plus, Winona Ryder was a bit too old for the part.
Kelly and I were talking about this because we were watching it earlier today, and like we said earlier, that all the cast are pretty spot on and they're well cast, but Pugsley is kind of non-existent. And I don't know if it's a problem with the actor or the part that Wednesday carries the kids. Pugsley is more of a foil for Wednesday.
Well, isn't Wednesday the older child?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because, older sister, younger brother, she's probably Abby, I think she's probably Pat Morgan in charge of him. And Pugsley has no lines to speak of. It's not like he's doing a bad actor. He has nothing to do.
I mean, or I guess to John's point, that might all be on the cutting room floor somewhere. Like, I honestly don't know, but, like, he even kind of looks like Pugsley, but that's kind of where it ends, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the movie kind of... I don't know. There's this end segment where the kids have a play. That's kind of the start of the third act. It's, I guess, the Christmas pageant. I don't know. The parents go back to school. There's a show. There's a musical number. Then the Addams kids reenact the final scene of Hamlet with blood, which was the best thing ever.
Blood. It's a lot of blood spraying the audience.
It's a Gallagher show. Like, the first three rows are soaked, and they're horrified. But frankly, if this happened in the middle of a kid pageant, I would be standing and applauding too, because it's awesome.
Me too. It was very well done.
But then post that, this is when everything starts to go down. They get a restraining order from the house because Fester, being the older brother, claims against them. Unfortunately, though, they don't know how anything works. They can't get down to the basement. This is Dan Hedaya. This is fake Fester, who's real Fester, and the mom. They can't get to the goal. They don't remember how to get there. All the booby traps in place keep spitting them out into the backyard, which was established earlier. Meanwhile, at this Motel 6, Gomez is depressed, too depressed to move, in fact, so Morticia decides to take things into her own hands and confront the attorney face to face, but they tie her down and torture her, which Thing sees to go get Gomez to start the third act.
Oh, isn't that a great scene where the Thing is using Morse code to communicate with Gomez?
I can't understand you when you stutter.
Sign language. That's so funny. Morticia, yes, Morticia. What else? Stop saying what. Something else. Give me something else. That's funny. But anyway, from there, Gomez shows up. There's a sword fighting scene. And at this point, fully aware of which side he wants to side with, Fester decides to help Gomez get rid of Dan Hedaya and the lady Dr. Something or other. Who the kids have already dug graves for in the yard, by the way.
Which, another great one-liner, Pugsley, like, they get blown into it by the hurricane from the book. And Pugsley and Wednesday are standing there at the open graves over their bodies, and Pugsley asks Wednesday, are they dead? And Wednesday just turns to him and says, does it matter? and they just take their shovels and start filling in the graves. It's perfect. It's very Adam's Family. It's grotesque if you think about it, but it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was right.
Also, it's funny because if the hurricane was Hurricane Irene, and I think Hurricane Irene hit this year, I'm looking it up. No, 2011. There was a real Hurricane Irene that hit in 2011, so there you go. That's funny.
So Hurricane Irene was the one that...
was on the books.
Was it the one that lost Uncle Fester? So does that mean that the Addams Family is actually in the future? Oh. Just Raphael is coming back to TV.
Oh, that's great.
We can only hope.
Yeah. Yeah, Hurricane Irene hit in 2011. It was a Category 3 hurricane. Yeah, the books being like actual things is kind of a great pun. At one point when the plot is going along just fine, Dan Hedaya is just sitting there with what is it?
The Sun Also Rises.
The Sun Also Rises, and he's tanning himself.
I mean, that was a scene in the movie, but damn.
It's just funny. The book to open the bookshelf is Greed by J.P. Adams, which is funny. Like, I don't know. It's also a kind of bygone hero. We don't have too many super rich heroes anymore other than Scrooge McDuck, right?
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, there we go. All characters.
Wayne doesn't exist in our world. He's, yes, actually, he does. Excuse me. That was the whole thing about him, is that Batman conceivably could be here. The Adamses could never exist here.
Inconceivable.
But you'd be surprised if you're rich. The richer you are, the weirder you'd be. Are you saying that Melania is occasionally strapped to that rat that only straps Morticia to?
God damn it, now that's a mental picture I have in my mind. Fucking shit, Daniel.
Images just works into your eyes, too.
It would make sense given her Christmas decorations.
Very Tim Burton, wasn't it?
It was very Tim Burton.
Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking throughout the whole picture. Like, Tim Burton was about three pictures into his career. He had Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Batman, and Edward Scissorhands. And it's crazy to think that Adam's Family probably got made because of the popularity of Tim Burton movies. I mean, this is better than a lot of recent Tim Burton movies.
Yeah.
It does it better.
Looking at the IMDb, he was one of the shortlisted directors for it, but he turned it down.
A couple of years ago, they were going to do a stop-motion animated version of the Adam's Family, and they wanted him to direct, but then the film got canceled, so...
I guess what was he directing at this point? This probably would have been when he was directing what, Batman Forever? 91?
Yeah, that came out in 92, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like, other than the house itself, which is kind of an iconic structure, the world is very Tim Burton. Like, there's weird close-ups on people's faces. You know, and just general silliness. It does look like an Edward Scissorhands kind of world. And I referenced earlier Big Fish, which has little bits of this as well. I think we should go around in the order we introduced each other and kind of give final thoughts. So we'll go Jeremy, Daniel, Matt, and then John, since it's kind of your defense. We'll wrap up with you, all right? Jeremy?
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm kind of embarrassed to say I saw this in theaters. That tells you how old I am. I was 10 at the time. So I'm sure a lot of the jokes flew over my head. But watching it again now, I think it holds up. It's very funny, very creative. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but considering a lot of movies today are just shameless cash-ins on TV shows and other established properties, this one treats it with a lot of respect. It has a lot of good humor in it, and I definitely recommend it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Was a sequel, which I think I would prefer if I were to ever revisit that, because I remember it being a lot more pointed and dark. But I still think this is a really fun movie, just because, like Jeremy said, it treats the source material with a lot of respect. It captures the spirit that Charles Adams had, where the whole joke is
this is a family who is completely disconnected from reality, and ultimately, though, it's more fun to be in their reality than it is to be in our world.
Thank you. Matt?
They had a lot of good, funny one-liners. Was it John who was talking about the one-liners? I agree with those. And it's worth a watch, and I definitely think it was you the second one.
Thank you, Matt. And John.
I love this film, and I love the sequel, too. I'm not a fan of the second sequel, the third in the series. If you ever get a chance to see that, don't. But the second one is fun, too. But, because it was made after Raul Julia died, so it was Tim Curry as Gomez.
Ooh, too much.
Which you would think might work, but not really, no.
No, it's too much.
Yeah. And, I love this movie. I don't remember when I saw it. I didn't see it in theaters, but it must have been closely after that. Maybe when it was out at Blockbuster. I will see this movie maybe once every couple of years just because I get a hankering for it. This one or the Addams Family Values. And I love the one-liners. I love the feel of it. It's that gothic, almost Tim Burton feel for it. It's just a fun film to see. And it's completely preposterous. Like the train scene, which we didn't cover here, but Gomez is working off his stress by playing with trains. And you see a guy in one of the trains looking out the window, and there's Gomez playing with his trains, and you think, what the hell is going on?
And the trains are so powerful they shake the house when they go by?
Yeah, and the family knows what's going on based on what's shaking. It's like, oh, it's Dead Man's Curve. Oh, they're going through the tunnel. I mean, it's fun. It's preposterous. It's creepy if you think about it. But it's a weird movie. And I can see why this kind of launched Barry Sonnenfeld's career. Because most of his movies after this have kind of followed suit, like Men in Black and what was that TV show with the pie shop?
Oh, Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies. That was Barry Sonnenfeld, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think it was, yeah. And so it's that similar stuff, kind of fantastic, vaguely creepy, but fun. And I think this is just a good movie. I think it held up pretty well.
Yeah, and
you said that there were scenes in this movie that were creepy, John. Would you also describe them as kooky and altogether kooky?
They could be. They could be creepy and kooky and spooky and...
Yeah.
I saw what you did there, Nick.
No, thank you. So, last thoughts on this for me. It was bold in that they didn't try to really have a plot. That usually bothers me in such films because then the sketches actually have to work. Luckily here they did, you know. If the sketches weren't funny, it just seems like a lot of bullshit and nothing. But they always just like lit Morticia just by the eyes, right? When I posted that we were watching this, that's what one of my friends said, Justin Wellborn. He just goes, look, Angelica Houston deserved an Academy Award for her eyes alone, right? Fester just was always lit from behind, so he just looked like a hulking monster. There's a dance sequence and party sequence we really didn't touch on, but like they just have all these weird people show up that is never explained, right? Like nothing in this movie needs to be explained because they're all just bit parts done very well. And you can recast it all you want. This is pretty much near perfect as far as a sketch troupe goes. So I enjoyed it fully. I don't remember when I first saw it. I may never have seen it all the way through because it was one of those movies that I saw bits and pieces of. But I loved it. Unfortunately, guys, as you can tell, we're doing Skype. It's not the best recording situation. So I'll do my hint when I do my intro. But tune in next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family.
Their house is a museum where people come to see you.
They really are Scream, the Addams Family. So put a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna play a call on the Addams Family.
Cereal.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together, ooky, the Addams Family.